is kind enough to join us to talk a little baseball.
Did you experience damage to your home or business from Hurricane Irma? Don't wait. The deadline to file an insurance claim is September 10, 2020. Call the pros at East Coast Public Adjusters, 855-GET-ECPA. That's 855-GET-ECPA.
Paula here on the program. Follow him on Twitter, at Craig Mish. Mishmeister, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing well, Orlando. What's going on? How are you?
Very good, my brother. I see, you know, the MLS is working its way back. I see the NFL. I see hockey. I see basketball. Everybody's working on getting back, but they're more worried about getting back health-wise. Meanwhile, baseball has got to fight over money, my brother. What the hell is going on, and can these guys figure it out finally?
You know, I don't have the answer to that right now. I do think that they will, and I think that they realize, you know, sort of what's at stake here, because you don't want to sacrifice the future for the present. But it's tough because the players feel that they had a deal done in March, essentially. The owners feel that that deal was done predicated on fans returning, and they appear to be at a stalemate at the moment. So the owners are going to have to bend in some way because the players don't appear that they're willing to. And the players that I've spoken to essentially are saying that, you know, they had agreed upon a deal and they're holding fast to that. So it's kind of sad the state that we're in now with all this, but I believe there will inevitably be baseball.
Yeah. And what are you believing? Did they really agree? Because there's a couple stories out there that they agreed on the prorated deal, but that the owners also and the players, that there was some conversation that there, if there wasn't fans, that it, that the deal, that they knew that that deal was not going to be a good one. Is there any truth to that? And then the follow-up is, now you've got this whole pay scale thing where your biggest stars are taking the biggest cuts out of all of them. That kind of doesn't make sense when those are the guys that actually put fannies in the seats. So walk us through what's real, what's Memorex here, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think the players do have to make some concessions, and I do think that they have to understand that with no fans being there, regardless of what was said or not, that in the 82-game season or 100-game season or whatever it is, I do think that some concessions would have to be made because there are no fans. On the owner side of it, I think using the excuse of not making money or losing money is also something that they're going to have to concede, because essentially the way that at least I look at it is that what you're essentially doing is making a charitable donation because of this COVID for the next 3 months, and you got to take a hit. I mean, you do. I mean, the executives are all taking hits, and I think the ownership does have to take some hit for the betterment of the country. And instead of donating your million or 2 million or 10 million or whatever it is, and you're a billionaire, I think that these owners need to just step up essentially and say, hey, rather than making a donation to a cause, we're making a donation to the country, and we're going to take a hit, and we're going to let the players play, and you know, and they'll still be okay regardless. Make no mistake about it. The kind of people that own teams are not somebody that's going to need to worry about their next meal. So I think that's essentially what's going to need to happen. And I do think eventually that it will. As far as what was said specifically, Orlando, in those meetings, I don't know. I wasn't there. And certainly some of the leaks that are coming out aren't indicating specifically what was said either. Because at that level, you're talking about Rob Manfred, Tony Clark, and very few others. You're not talking about leadership councils of Major League Baseball teams. And those are the kind of people that I'm able to communicate with. I'm not having direct access with Tony Clark or Rob Manfred, so I don't know the answer to that direct question you asked me.
All right, so then what do you think about Bauer now, dude, going after Scott Boras, because Boras is apparently meddling in some of this stuff, and obviously he controls a lot of the big names in the sport. What are you hearing about what Boras might be doing behind the scenes, and why Trevor Bauer is calling him out?
Well, I think that Scott Boras has a very strong voice in the industry. Mm-hmm. And so when he shares his opinions, there's a possibility that people that do what I do would share those and make them public. I don't know that he has a direct, I don't know if he has a direct effect on this. But if he's willing to talk and come up with ideas, what happens is that those get communicated through the media, Orlando, and then at that point it could be misconstrued as having control over the situation. So I wouldn't look at the two as being the same.
Okay. All right. So where's the cutoff here, my man? Because we're already at the end of May, and at one point or another, we need to get these guys back out there. It's going to take them a month to get back in a groove easily. So we know that June is gone. If you would start on June 1st, we know they're not starting on June 1st. So where is the cutoff here? At what point can they get those 80 games in?
Yeah, next week sometime they're going to have to make a decision. It doesn't have to be Monday, but I think that by the end of the week, next week, something will have to happen, or else, it's kind of pointless at that point. I mean, there is some sort of soft deadline of June 10th. And the idea would be at that point, if there was a deadline of the 10th, you would give everybody a week to get in. They would come back on the 17th, have the week of the 17th, the 24th, and then the first week in July, and then start in mid-July, which would still enable an 82-game season. But I think that's kind of it. I think that beyond that, you'd be looking at no season at all, and I don't think that there would be any point to starting a season in August. I know the NHL has essentially said, we don't care, we'll start in August, September, December, January, it doesn't matter. But for baseball, at this point, because they have a collective bargaining agreement and one that's going to have to be looked at in 2021, I think that you're looking at essentially either they start in July or they don't play.
Now, when Max Serger says there's no reason to engage with MLB in any further compensation reductions, I'm with you. I think they eventually will get this done, but there's a part of me here that says there's a major hurdle going on here, and I don't know how they overcome it within a week. So how does that happen?
Well, I mean, I think that it has to come from some other players outside of the leadership council that's involved in the negotiations. They have to basically decide, hey, look, some of the things that we want, we are going to get, and some that we won't. But what the owners are probably going to have to understand is they're going to have to pay the players. You know, they're going to have to pay the players, and they're not going to take less money in a very significant way, which is what the first negotiation tactic was. But I mean, Orlando, I mean, I just don't know how this is different than in any other negotiation, with the exception of the two sides are leaking it so it can become public to kind of put egg on the face of the other side. And I think that's going to continue to happen. It's very unfortunate for me, because as I, put out on Twitter the other day, the last thing that these guys should have understood that you want to do is do this in the day and age of social media, where everything is going to come out. Orlando, you remember 1994 when there was a strike.
Yes.
And what happened when there was that strike? What did we do? We sat around all day, nothing happened. And then at 5 o'clock, we turned on ESPN and we found out through SportsCenter what the latest was. Now, every second of every leak of every minute, we're getting it on Twitter. And that's a bad thing for baseball. And they should have known that this was going to happen, but it's kind of too late for that. I think it will continue. But I do think that eventually they'll realize that it's better for the games to be played than not. And I think that stuff will get itself sorted out.
So, and last question on this part of the baseball conversation, who does make the concession? Do you think the owners do? Do you think that?
Yeah. Okay. I think they do. You know, it's the same thing as this. It's like, look, you, for many years were basically, the cream of the crop, when terrestrial radio was worth doing, and it's not anymore. But when it was worth doing, you were the man. You were the midday guy or the morning guy or the afternoon guy. And when the boss at one of the radio stations that you've worked for in the past would have come to you and basically offered you the least amount of money possible, Orlando, there's a good chance that you would go back to them and you would say, wow, this deal sucks. It's insulting. I feel awful. But you just know that they know that they're willing to pay you more. But, hey, you never know. Maybe you'll accept less.
Right.
And I just don't think that there's, it's just part of negotiation, I think. And I don't even think that it's a lot more than that. They basically, the owners put two different proposals together that were completely unrealistic. But eventually you come to some sort of middle ground. And I think that the players will come to some sort of middle ground also. And I'm hopeful that next week we'll come back and we'll look at this as just posturing. I can't say that with certainty, but there just aren't a lot of people that I talk to that are overly worried that this isn't going to happen. I don't know. I mean, I guess that's the way it's being portrayed. But I got to tell you, Orlando, every single thing in life that's portrayed on Twitter is negative, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's all negativity. There's there's almost no positivity on that app. So I don't see how this is any different than anything else, except for we're hearing about the play-by-play.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, and I don't know, man. Maybe it's because people have short-term memories. I don't, and I'm not a Yankee or an Expos fan. But as a baseball fan, I still haven't recovered from 94 because I know we were headed for one hell of a World Series with those two teams. And I just hope baseball doesn't screw up again and, you know, doesn't have a season and doesn't have a champion. Because I don't think this sport can take that many hits like that. It's already falling down on the totem pole, and they just keep making all these mistakes, and it's baffling to me how it continues with this sport.
Well, I would say that sentiment that you have is accurate in terms of baseball falling down the totem pole. I would say that. That's accurate. It's fallen behind football, and it's fallen behind basketball. But I don't think that that's going to change no matter what. And where I would disagree with you is that while all of these things have fallen and somebody like yourself has not been as interested since then, and that's fair, and I think that there are a lot of people that share that sentiment, and again, it's fallen to the third most popular sport, why are teams, Orlando, still being sold for $1 billion? You know, why? Why is that still happening if things are so bad? Things are great for baseball, and they still will be. It's just it'll never get back to number one. I mean, football will always be one. And I probably believe basketball will always be two, and baseball will be the third fiddle. And I don't see it falling behind hockey.
Oh no, it will fall behind the MLS by 2030. Garrett, you can bet your life on it that soccer will pass baseball in the next 10 years because young people care more about it. And as for the money, they're still being sold that way for now, but that turn is coming because less money will start coming in from all these TV contracts because the ratings aren't there, the interest is not there. And these TV companies see that, Mish. So that's coming. That cycle is now going to come to baseball, and they're going to get a little walloped like hockey was, and they're going to get minimalized like hockey, and they're going to be a fringe sport like hockey. That's what baseball is going to become in this country.
We've been great friends for almost 30 years. We're not going to agree on everything, and this is just one that I won't agree with you on.
Yeah. No, I know, but you're a seam head. That's why.
No, listen, if I was being non-transparent, I would say that baseball is still number one, and it's the best sport in the world, and it's the most popular sport in the world. I feel like I'm realistic with it, and I just don't, and that's no indictment on MLS. I just don't see baseball going anywhere. I think it's stuck where it is. It's not getting better. It could get worse. It could fall even further down. But in terms of popularity in this country, I don't think baseball's going anywhere except for number three. Because I personally don't think anything that's out there, at least to my knowledge, that will surpass it. Now, you have an opinion that MLS will. I don't share that opinion.
Yeah, I there's no doubt. I mean, young people, man, it's what they like, international soccer, and I know this league here is obviously grown a lot, and I think over the next 10 years, I think baseball.
Well, you know, let me know when an MLS team gets sold for $1 billion and has that kind of revenue in terms of the television contract in the next 10 years, and then I'll agree with you. Until then, I don't agree.
No, I know that. I mean, they're only being sold now for $500 million right now. They're not being sold for $1 billion yet. They're not at that point. But, I mean, the fact that they're already up to, you know, that area, that tells you that they're moving in the right direction, considering it's a league that was losing money 20 years ago. Now it's a league that's making money. And, again, young people, man, it's what I see.
You could be right, but I don't see it. But you could be right.
Yeah. I'm a baseball fan, but it's old. It's people my age or older that are – the main component that's made up of them. All right, so let me get to the good news here.
I'm glad there's good news because I don't have any.
Well, no, we do have good news because we don't give, you know, I like to be fair. And, you know, hearing that the Marlins are paying their minor leaguers through August, I thought that, you know, watching what's going on with the Oakland A's, watching that the Boston Bruins owner is a billionaire and doesn't want to pay his, you know, people. And I see Vinny Viola and Doug Cifu are paying their people through the pandemic. I see the Marlins are paying their minor leaguers through August. Hey, man, you know, for all the shots that we take at the Marlins, let's give them a little love when they do something that's right, that shows some humanity. I thought that was cool because prior ownership would not be doing this.
Yeah, no, it's a smart move on their part. And I think that, you know, some of it is humanitarian and some of it is also strategic. And the strategic part of this, again, in my opinion, is the fact that you have a 5-round Major League Baseball draft coming up in 2 weeks.
Right.
And the question has to be asked at this point, what is going to happen with all the players that would have been drafted in 2020 and are not? And the answer is very similar to the NFL draft, which is 7 rounds. And you've seen this play out before. Immediately after the draft, every one of those players that was coveted gets called by 2, 3, 5, 10, 20 NFL teams and says, hey, come play for us.
Right.
And they outline some of the ideas as to what the future could potentially hold if you join the organization. In this particular situation, the maximum amount of money, Orlando, that these teams can offer to players after 5 rounds is $20,000. So everyone is going to be fighting over the same players and convincing them to come join the organization. And I don't think that offering them a Chipotle gift card is going to get it done. So what they're probably going to have to do is convince them that their organization is better than others. And I think that the Marlins have basically set the standard here, along with the Padres, and I believe there are a couple other teams, maybe the Mariners. I'd have to check this morning and see who's jumped on board with that. And they can get on the phone and say, hey, look, we took care of our minor leaguers. You're going to be a minor leaguer with us, and we're going to take care of you just like we did these guys.
Right.
And I think that it's a smart and savvy move on their part. And, you know, I wonder also as we get closer to this draft, and I've, you know, thought about this, no one's really talked about it, but the Marlins also have in their arsenal one of the greatest players in the history of the game and their CEO, Derek Jeter. And I wonder if a phone call from Derek Jeter after a player that they really wanted in the 6th round, but they couldn't take because there's 5 rounds, what a call from that guy would mean to potentially get that guy signed. So these are all things that haven't been discussed publicly yet, Orlando, but I'll discuss it on my podcast next week. But let's wonder about that at this point, because it really hasn't been talked about a lot. There's going to be hundreds of kids who are going to be, you know, deciding what to do. Do I, you know, become a dentist, a doctor, a FedEx driver, a radio show host, or do I try to make a Major League Baseball career out of this? And I wonder where this is going to go in baseball. This is an unprecedented thing. You used to have 30, 40 rounds of an MLB draft, and now you have 5.
Yeah. The suggestion is pick anything but radio. That's all I would tell any
Very
of those
true.
Kids. anything
true.
But radio, bro. That's the last thing that you want to be a part of. Craig Mish, of course, you can follow him on Twitter, @CraigMish. And Mishmeister, tell him about Swings and Mishes too, man.
Well, Swings and Misses has been on a little bit of a hiatus because we haven't really had a lot of baseball to talk about. We actually have had very limited podcast episodes just due to everything that's happened, waiting for news. And while I am a fun speculator of free agency and players, and I do like to have fun on Twitter, it's been no fun to have baseball at all. So I've been relatively quiet with this. But next week we will be back. And we will do a 2020 draft preview. Hopefully we'll have a preview of the baseball season as well, if that's what it is. And we'll have episodes on our podcast, and it's on iTunes and Android and everywhere where you hear a podcast, it's there. And listen, we produce episodes, you know, 52 weeks out of the year when there's baseball. But unfortunately, due to what's happened, it's been really hard to just produce content on nothing or retro games. I mean, I'm kind of over that at this point. It's been almost 3 months. So starting next week, we'll be back with a draft. If there is a season, then we'll be back every single week. And you can find us on Twitter @SwingsandMishes. And of course, me on Twitter @CraigMish. And happy to be back with my sports grid company as well. working with them for the next year also. So I'll be remaining doing shows with them every day, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern.
That's right, 11 to 1 on Sports Grid. Go to sportsgrid.com. Hey, one question from a listener. He says, what would be the one change baseball could make to increase fan numbers?
Say it again, Orlando. The last part you were breaking up. I apologize.
What would be the one change baseball could make to increase fan numbers? That's what one listener is asking.
If I had the answer to that, then the fan numbers would increase. But what I do think is that the NBA in particular is the model that I think that baseball needs to try and follow, which is personalities, sneakers, gear,
social media,
social media. Baseball's done their part with social media, and they're
not the players, dude. The players are not on social media. They need to be.
You can't force kids to do what they're not going to do. But the league has to be the one to put their players out there, and you know the faces and you know the names of all the top NBA guys. And part of it is people want to replicate that. I mean, the sneaker industry and these sneakerheads buying and selling sneakers online is like one of the massive parts of what that game is. And baseball won't even allow these guys to wear their own gear half the time, man. Like, yeah. I think that's something that has to change. And players need to be able to put their own stuff out there, their own opinions, what they want to wear, their own colors. And the other thing, too, is that from an international point of view, what we've done is, unfortunately, we've lost the biggest thing that we had going for us with this World Baseball Classic next year. So, look, you know, for me, I think that the ideas of having the players out front on social media, as you said, is a really good idea. But the league has to be the one to market their players better. That's to me, the way that it has to go.
There you go. Follow him on Twitter and catch him at the Sports Grid at Craig Mish. He's at the Sports Grid 11 to 1. He is Craig Mish. Craig, as always, you are a stud, my brother. Thank you for taking some time. We really appreciate it.
Anytime. Thanks for having me, as always. Be safe.
You got it. There you go, Craig Mish. It's a beautiful thing. Go ahead and call David Dwork right away. Forget the break. We'll go straight into David Dwork. We do want to remind you that VSS West Pines is a proud sponsor of our program. Jose and all the great people out there, we love Jose, man. 12397 Pembroke Road for all of your CBD needs. Go there, please. Hookahs, water pipes, you name it, rolling papers. Listen, don't go to those hookah bars because you want a social distance. Get your own hookah at home. Save yourself a lot of money and enjoy your hookah at home. Go to VSS West Pines, 12397 Pembroke Road. By the way, I would tell you this. Baseball needs to make it cool again to be a baseball player. It's not cool to play baseball. Kids don't think baseball is cool. Players need to market the game. Make it cool. Get out there. Be in commercials, promos. Be on social media. Go at each other. Have fun, bust each other's butts, nuts, chops, whatever it takes, okay? I'm telling you, that's what you got to do. Make baseball cool again. You got to make them say chicks dig the long ball, that kind of stuff. We still talk about that commercial. Why? Because baseball has no memorable commercials. That's why. And we got a bunch of young people that are like, huh? What do you talk about, chicks dig the long? What the hell is that? Because it's the Braves back in the day. You got to come up with a marketing campaign every year, every couple of months.
Was I Glavin and Maddox?
Yes, yes. Come on, man. You know, make baseball cool. Baseball is not cool. That's the problem. Baseball was always cool when I was a kid. All right? You got to get back to that. And, you know, video games, all of that kind of stuff.